Good evening, one and all. Another week, a Tuesday indeed, and this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Now, through life, you get a lot of curveballs thrown at you from early on, from growing up, from running your life, and indeed, what you do within your life. It takes a while for people to come to grips with certain things, especially perhaps those people who their early years perhaps might have had some issues. And of course, later on in life, you get the people who've been in the forces, and suffered all that goes with that. And, you wonder what can happen, what they can do with it. Well, my guest today, he's been through stuff like that, and he's now written a book and shared with us about this. And I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Robert Graves. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
That was a phenomenal intro. Thank you so much.
Well, I tell you what, it's even more so because I closed all the pages that I had to read about you, and I had to do it from memory. let me just explain to everybody. I called Robert, and he was busy, didn't answer the phone. So I thought, oh my God, here we go. I better get an old show like we do to cover. And then he phoned me back. And oh my gosh, I just closed all your pages. I've got to try and remember all about you.
Well, if you need to go run and get them, it's fine. No, it was phenomenal. I appreciate that so much.
One of the things that I remember was, growing up, you grew up in an environment that wasn't exactly, that had some challenges, shall I say.
Yeah. It was... At the age of four, my parents split. I watched my father abuse my mother, and he was Old South, so his known association to how to raise a family was different than what we view today. So he took it upon himself to be Old South, and so I was raised up in that up until he passed, and they split. So I bounced around from school to school to school. So. Grew up in just an unstable environment, but I'm a great person because of it. So that's the gist of my kids.
Growing up in that sort of environment, it was almost, I guess it was a case that you didn't know anything else. You that was it. You took it as it was. And it wasn't perhaps until you joined the Marines that you sort of found out that there was other stuff.
Well, it's funny because even though I did bounce around, my parents wanted the best. So, my mom worked her ass off. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's public radio.
So she worked her ass off to, provide for me and make sure that, I had manners and that, I knew proper etiquette. So, I became more cultured, right? So I knew what was supposed to be. I knew what things looked like,
right,
and how they were. Yeah, so I knew what the proper place for everything was, and I just took that with me everywhere I went.
And that's interesting because a lot of people who are raised, shall we say, in better environments, when it comes to knowing the difference between right and wrong, they've got no idea.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess you can say that.
No, it's to my mind anyway. you joined the Marines, and while in the Marines, not only did you experience life, but you got your own life into a better order.
Yeah, well, there was a point in my career where I realized that there was an end, right? I wanted to serve 20, which we call career Marines or lifers. But there was a point that I knew that the Marine Corps would end. And so that was a big moment because that's when I started school. And even though it took me 11 years to finish my bachelor's, I still started and, kept with it to continue to finish. So that was a big moment. And that would be in my mind always. So when I got new guys into my shop, I would really push the importance of getting an education early while it's free you know, before you get out and have to go struggle when you get out. So.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, as you said, you got your bachelor's degree in psychology. But along the way, I mean, you had a love of sports and you were able to utilize what you'd learned within your sports education and coaching.
Yeah. So there was, so I took the psychology aspect of what I wanted to do and I studied hypnotherapy. So hypnotherapy talks about the science of psychology, but it also introduces the mindsets of dealing primarily with the subconscious. And through learning hypnosis and hypnotherapy, I learned about sports psychology or mm-hmm. sport hypnosis,
right.
And then learned about that it was a profession. And so I looked more into sport psychology and I enrolled in my master's. I enrolled in my master's program and I'm in my last semester of thesis writing right now. So mm-hmm. I'm now becoming a sports psychologist.
Now, obviously while you were there, you ended up having to sort of basically, you know, with your own life and issues in your own life, you had to basically look at yourself and start over from scratch again, didn't you?
Well, and the reason why is because while in the service, I was in a fight with a friend. I was trying to pull a friend out of a fight, and it turned bad. Long story short, there was some legal actions pinned on me that I couldn't get out of. I opted to a court-martial, and that court-martial that I was found guilty in has kind of followed me throughout my civilian life. So I got out and got a very good job for 6 years doing technician work for military contractors, but I got burnt out of that. And
right.
So I went back to school and got my master's and found myself on this journey, so to say, right? And so that's how, I hope I'm answering your question. That's
yep. No, I understand. I mean, you know, you had this, you basically, your path along the way. I mean, you obviously had your sports, you overcome, you know, the military life, you overcame separation, you overcame drug addiction and all these issues. And at the other side of it, you've now come out understanding, and because you can understand what a lot of people are going through, not only people growing up in the sports environment, etc. like that, but people within the military, you know, what happens when they leave the military and the pressure gets up on that. And because of that, you're able to help as a coach to them.
Yes. And, you know, and I'm around vets all the time because of while I'm in school, I'm very active with the veteran programs. And so I'm able to be there and help them, you know, write their application statements for their master's programs. I'm there helping them find roommates or, you know, buying an extra sandwich at Subway because I know somebody's been on the street for a week, you know. Yeah. So I'm there with them. And all I'm going to do in this world is give back everything I've learned. So, you know, kind of like the psychological aspect of Maslow with, you know, the pyramid of hierarchical success, you know, we have to create that baseline for the generations below us. And we only create that baseline by reaching down and saying, hey, somebody has been down this before. Somebody's done this and you don't have to, you know, you're not paving a new road.
Right.
You walk down the road that's already been walked down
exactly.
by reaching out.
And a lot of people, you know, they feel alone. They feel like, you know, nobody understands it, whereas in fact
correct.
They do. And that's one of the things you try and share is the fact that, you know, I've walked your path. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that
exactly.
I don't understand. How does the hypnotherapy help with that?
So hypnotherapy, again, it's really based on the science of slowing down the mind and getting the subconscious to take hold onto beliefs that you want to believe in, right? So, you know, some of these guys come through and they don't believe that they can finish school. well, why is that a belief? If you work that down, you can subconsciously get to the answer in minutes, you know? So by just asking the right questions and listening, we're always in a state of hypnosis. So it's funny that there's a certification to go through it, but I guess I learned a lot. I learned how to help people, you know? So it was a good process for me. And I learned how to help myself, really, between it. So it was a very good process. And I know it sounds kind of, you know, white magic witchcraft to some people, but until you've really experienced or really understood it, it really does help people. So I love helping vets with it.
And I can understand that, because even the part of just listening, and I mean listening, just not letting them roam, you know, talk and you just not understand, you know, it just goes over your head. I mean listening to understand the people. That is a very important part that a lot of, that just isn't there. And with what you're able to do, you know, you're basically asking them to share with you, and you're able to listen and comprehend what they're saying.
Correct.
Now, yeah. I know you've sort of started, you shared some of this thing in your book, wonderfully titled How to Grow a Beard, which I think is terrific. But then what it is, it covers the military transition, basically, you know, how the issues that people have going from military back into civilian life.
Yeah. And, you know, when people think of transition, they think of that you're just getting out and taking your uniform off, and guess what? You're now Mr. Johnson. You know, it doesn't work like that. There's so much more to it. There's confusion. You don't know what, you know, what's going to be down the road in 3 months unless you've done your transition correctly. And that's what I try to help people do now, because the book is now turned. The book's a story about me, mm-hmm. my 6-year transition, and my story is like when we bought a house, nobody told us about all the extra money that was going to have to, you know, be put into a house. Like, you know, we had to replace our main line. That cost $8,000. Right. We, you know, my first electric bill was $750 because we'd run the AC all summer. I had no idea. And so I locked myself in the bathroom and cried. Like, those are real problems that nobody talks about. And because I went through it, I just want to get back. And so that book is 6 years of me. And so I woke up one day and I said, like, how do I make this better? And so I started a podcast where I invite other veterans on and tell their transition stories. And so there's just this large group of, you know, growing transition stories. So people can turn to and listen and say, oh man, I'm going through that. That's what I needed to hear. That is exactly on point where what I need to know at this moment. And so How to Grow a Book turned into Year of the Vet that is out there now. And they're both on the same website. You can get to the podcast through the website. Sorry to use your show as a plug, but
no, that's what we're here for. Don't fret.
Yeah, it's important.
I totally understand what you're saying. When I came to America, nobody told me that I had to go to a certain office and apply for a social security number.
Yeah,
I thought it would come with, you know, with you know, the company, and the company would sort it out and stuff like that. And then 3 months down the line, somebody said, "Oh, you got a social security number?" I said, "No." "Oh, you got to go here." Nobody tells me.
Yeah, my good friend, he came from Thailand, and I think the third day he was here, it was Halloween.
Right.
You know, and nobody told him what Halloween was.
Oh, my goodness. You know, oh, he saw somebody, these people. Yeah.
He said people were knocking on his door, and there'd be like a mummy.
What's going on?
He hid in, for a week, he'd hid in the house.
But that's it. People just don't. People, I mean, there are things that people just expect people to know. But like you said, from a different country and stuff like that. I never forget when the first time I came over for the interview before I got the job over here and stuff like that. And I got a cab from New York Airport and stuff like that. And they got up to the first stoplight and he turned right on red. frightened the life out of me. I thought, what on earth are you doing? You're turning on a red stop sign. You know, I mean, what on earth's going on here?
Yeah, yeah, that one gets me. Yeah. You know, and I've lived in Japan for 5 years, so, you know, I know about how to, you know, how to adapt.
Yeah.
You know, we drive on the different side of the road over there.
Right.
It's, and that's why I'm able to do what I'm doing, because I'm adaptable, and, you know, and I like to share what I've learned with many people. So,
yeah,
and maybe it's, I just like talking.
No, and just, you know, taking it from your book website page, how to grow a beard book.com. People don't realize their numbers. 15% of American population that are veterans. 9%, yeah. 9% approximate percentage of homeless that are veterans. 5% approximate percentage of post 9/11 veterans that are unemployed, and 22 is the approximate number of veteran suicides per day. I mean, yeah, the numbers are staggering. I couldn't believe it when I read something the other day. I was talking to somebody about, you know, the gun availability in America and stuff like that. That 90 people on an average every weekend in America are killed by firearms. Now, some are kids, you know, accidentally shoot themselves and stuff like that. But 90 a weekend is the average. You know, it's mind-blowing. And here we are, 22 a day. Not every weekend, a day.
And, you know, let me tell you, I actually just came from Reno, where I received the Veteran of the Year Award from the California DAV.
Terrific.
Yeah, and there's a percentage out there that the DAV mentioned where more than 50% of those individuals, those veterans taking their lives, are elderly or on their way to being elderly because nobody is taking care of them. And we've taken money away from caregivers, and nobody can care for these individuals, these veterans. And so a lot of those numbers, we think that our post 9/11 vets are coming, those Iraq and Afghanistan vets, but it's the World War II and the Korean War vets going through the same thing. So when we say veterans, we're all in a transition, and the process is we have to build all of our vets back up. It's not just the guys getting back from Iraq right now. And I love them. I love all my vets. They're all heroes, but we have to keep in mind the older generation of vets when we're dealing with this, with these issues.
And that's the big thing. It's not the hospital treatment. It's the post treatment. In England now, there are so many, 90 million people in England now, right? In a country smaller than Ohio. With all the people, the influx of foreign people, I mean, because you've got the whole Europe, you've got the Commonwealth and everything coming here, all these people there, the hospitals just can't take anybody. It's like 2-year waiting list for a, you know, say a knee replacement or something like that. But it's not the hospital time. It's the fact that these people, these elderly people, have got nowhere to go. So they stay in hospital. Mm-hmm. People are staying in hospital a year, 2 years, because there's no place for them. There's no follow-up. And that's
correct.
That's what the worrying thing is about America, that you know, these people haven't got the money for post-care, and it's just not there for them.
Yeah, and there's another issue in California where, you know, if those elderly do go and get taken care of and put in a home, once they pass, the family now takes on the botch of however much it costs.
Yeah.
So
the debts,
it's a nasty circle of, you know, healthcare and worrying about humanity in general. So
yeah, I mean, I really appreciate in America the way people, how can I say, verbally support the veterans. You know, you see them, people, they got the hats and stuff like that. People, you know, thank you for your service and stuff like that. But it's verbal to me. You can say it, but to actually be out there and doing it and helping these people like you do.
Yeah.
Just, it's like, oh, there's people who can do that. It's not my job.
You know, it's funny because there are a lot of beautiful people out there helping veterans. A lot of beautiful people doing this great stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of nonprofits out there that people don't know about because they can't, you know, hear about it. And so, you know, there's talk about who's out there for the veterans and who's out there for the money that's allocated for the veterans. So, you know, there's talks like that. But, you know, I heard somebody say just recently that the love and appreciation for veterans it goes in ebb and flow here because 1 minute we're heroes, such as, you know, the World War II vets, they come back and, you know, the world's given to them. You can have a house practically if you're a vet. And then there's our Vietnam vets that when they came back, they were baby killers and, you know, they couldn't go into a restaurant without being spit on. Yeah. So, you know, America has had its hatred and love for vets. And it's what this gentleman was saying is that it's just a matter of time that people get annoyed with it. So that's why it's important for the veterans to pick up, you know, the slack and take care of our own, because there's going to be a time that, you know, and I hope there's not. So I hope this gentleman's wrong, you know, but there may be a time that the only people that are taking care of the vets are vets again.
It's interesting. I have come across the last few months, there seems to be a growing interest in people suddenly realize that these veterans or you know, the elderly family, people who escaped, you know, from prison camps and you know, prisoner of war camps and that sort of thing in the last war, that families and friends are now realizing that they've got to listen to these people and to make and to be able to tell their story. And I found this with some of the teenagers today, that they are very keen to listen to these people to find out stuff, because it's stuff they don't know about and they don't understand what these people went through.
It's funny that you brought that up, because I took my wife to go meet my dad's side of the family just a little more than 3 years ago. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. And so that was I was 32 years old when I first learned that my family was involved with the sit-ins and the march with Dr. King.
Yeah.
And so that information hadn't been shared with me. And I think that had it been, I would have been more in tune with, you know, learning more about history. But it's only been recently that, like, I sat down and had lunch with an 88-year-old veteran the other day, and he was in the Korean War, and you know, he was just so happy, and he's always been so happy. And it's just amazing. It's amazing how much knowledge and how many stories
I mean, you know, if you listen, if you spend the time, if you sit down with them. Now I can understand some of them don't want to talk, some of them it's painful and stuff like that, but if you talk to them, in the end they start opening up, and in opening up it heals them as well.
And you know, they'll even talk, like my wife's grandmother would have been, I think, like 103 or 106 by now, right? If she was still alive. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how silly she felt in the old style bathing suits. Yep. You know, like just the little stories. It's not even about pain and suffering. It's just when we look in the past, we don't ever relate to that.
No.
We're like, that's what it used to be. But you have the opportunity to relate to it because there's somebody who has that story out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say, well, it was a woolen bathing suit and it stretched when you got in the water. I know your book, How to Grow a Beard, it's there to help people who leave the service, or as you wonderfully put it, are in the civilian trenches after leaving. But I can see that it's not just for that. It's for a lot of other people in their own lives, you know, what's thrown at them as well.
Yeah. You know, I had a mother of one read it, and she said it helped her more with her, you know, her divorce than it did her transition. So
Yep. I can see it. I can see it indeed. Fascinating chatting to you, but as always, time is beating us. It's gone so quickly, really has. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Okay. So, again, Robert Graves, it's been a pleasure being on your show, by the way.
Thank you.
This has been super fun. You can find me at www.howtogrowabeardbook.com. You can also get to that same area by typing in yearofthevet.com. If you type in hashtag year of the vet, all one word, you'll probably find me through Instagram and Twitter, Facebook. And you can connect there. Please, if you're a veteran or you know a veteran and you're listening to the show right now, please have them find Year of the Vet on iTunes or Spreaker.com or whatever they listen to podcasts through, because there are just a lot of strong vets that come on there to share their story about their transitions. And if you know anybody, please definitely have them reach out to me so they can share their story. So it's my intention to bring my brothers and sisters up with me. So let's just grab each other and pull.
That's great. Well, Robert, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been fascinating having you, and I'm sure you hopefully continue to be a great help to these people.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest on the show today, Robert Graves. And as he said, you can find his book, How to Grow a Beard. Wonderful title, but you'll understand when you get there, is How to Grow a Beard Book. howtogrowabeardbook.com. And as you said, you can also find it hashtag Year of the Vet. Wonderful book. And as you said, this program that people join and everything like that, great help to people, not just people who are in the forces or just leave the forces, people who left the forces a long while ago, just how people are having issues and how they basically confront life, everyday life. Perhaps it's different to what they've been brought up with, totally different since the army stuff, and the sort of things that people can help you with. And as he said there at the end there, you know, even for bringing up a baby sort of thing, it's the sort of book that can help loads of people. Well, that's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow, but until then, as always, I have